Hi, this is Gary Fretz, and we're talking about the Bahamas today, specifically the Abaco chain of islands in the northern Bahamas. Most people have no idea that a libertarian country was almost founded in the Abacos. I think it's a fascinating story. In the 1960s, the Abacos tried to secede from the Bahamas when they were discussing becoming an independent country with London, because the Bahamas used to be a colony of the United Kingdom up until 1973. Now, the Abaconians wanted to form their own libertarian-style country separate from the Bahamas because the politicians in Nassau, which is the capital of the Bahamas, were too socialist-leaning for the Abaconians. And when London told them, no, we're not going to let you do that, they prepared to have an armed revolution to accomplish this. So a ragtag Abaco army was formed, and they started training, but you know, the army wasn't very big. And eventually, the authorities in London threatened to send in the Marines. And so that put an end to the Abaco Revolutionary Army. Now, the movement for a libertarian Abaco didn't die with Bahamian independence. Some activists continued to seek autonomy for the island, and they included Chuck Hall and Bert Williams, who in August 1973 formed a political party called the Abaco Independence Movement, AIM. And its stated goal was self-determination within a federal Bahamas, sort of like a separate state. And just before Bahamian independence in 1973, Chuck Hall had been in touch with an American financier named Michael Oliver, whose Libertarian Phoenix Foundation had attempted to create a micronation in 1971 on some low-lying Pacific atolls that weren't claimed by anybody, by any other country, I should say. And this so-called Republic of Minerva was going to have no taxation, no welfare, no subsidies, or any other form of economic interventionism. And so when the Republic of Minerva fizzled out, this same group wanted to do this in Abaco. And Oliver, who was a Jewish survivor of the Holocaust, had written a libertarian manifesto in 1968 called A New Constitution for a New Country. And this supported property rights and an unrestricted market as the basis for human liberty with a minimalist role for the state. Now, Oliver agreed to help finance AIM, the political party, in order to set up a libertarian refuge on Abaco. This campaign for self-determination through legal and peaceful political action was launched in the inaugural edition of AIM's newspaper called the Abaco Independent in October 1973. Now, one of the movement's key proposals was the placement of all 300,000 acres of crown land in Abaco, that's the land owned by the Queen, into a land trust drawn up by internationally respected economists. And at the time, Abaco's crown land was said to be valued at $60 million. That's in 1970 dollars. In addition to home lots, all citizens of Abaco were to receive shares in the trust, whose income would be derived from land leases and land sales. In addition to this revenue, a free economic climate will attract businesses, provide high-paying jobs, Ames said. The plan called for a balance between recreational use, nature preserves, farming, commercial areas, industrial areas, as well as traditional real estate developments. So each Abaco citizen would receive a land entitlement deed for a 1 acre home lots, you know, in addition to their share of the income from the main trust. Now, estimates at the time suggested that by leasing half of the 300,000 acres of Crown land to developers, the yearly income would have amounted to around $55 million. Now, that's in 1971, which would have set up every citizen of Abaco with a really nice trust fund. They also proposed an Abaco World Trade Zone, which would be a joint venture between the land trust and a company called the Atlas Corporation. They were a development company based in the Cayman Islands that was supported by wealthy libertarians. A four-page outline of this 60-square-mile free trade zone was published. Two-thirds of the zone would be owned by the land trust and one-third by Atlas Corporation. So in late 1973, AIM surveyed 200 Abaco residents and supported strong dissatisfaction with high taxes and poor service from the central government in Nassau, together with an almost unanimous demand for more local control. Now, these opinions still resonate today. In 1974, AIM held its first convention. The key speaker was Dr. John Hospers of the University of Southern California, and he was the author of a book called Libertarianism, a Political Philosophy Whose Time Has Come. He was also the first Libertarian Party presidential candidate in the U.S. And now, according to a February 1975 article in Esquire magazine, plans were being drawn up for another alleged insurrection in Abaco. This article was by Andrew St. George, and it was entitled The Amazing New Country Caper, and it centered on an interview with Mitchell Werbel, who was an American mercenary and arms dealer who claimed that Abaco was set to declare unilateral independence on January 1st, 1975. Now, it's clear that the Bahamian government saw the Abaco independence movement as a serious national issue, and the prime minister banned the libertarian organizers from entering the Bahamas. Now, in June 1974, Lord Belhaven, who had supported the Council for a Free Abaco during the British debates in Parliament, asked questions in Parliament about the Bahamian government's harassment of Abaconians seeking home rule. And much was made at the time of a dynamite explosion that happened during a political meeting in Marsh Harbor, where the prime minister was speaking. Fortunately, no one was injured in this incident, and the prevailing view among Abaconians is that there never was any real intention to harm the prime minister. According to one local source involved with AIM, a handful of Abaconians also visited Mr. Werbel's Georgia estate, but no serious evidence of an armed takeover ever came to light, and no arrests were ever laid against any of the alleged participants. Nevertheless, rumors of this plot led AIM to change its name in 1975 to the Abaco Home Rule Movement, and plans were made to contest the Abaco seats in the 1977 general election, and this newly styled organization denied any association with Werbel and disclaimed any military objectives. So this new political party continued to work on a draft constitution for a proposed Abaco Commonwealth, and this document, based on libertarian principles, called for a limited government controlled by elected representatives from each settlement. A bicameral legislature would be responsible for establishing laws and procedures to protect citizens from force and fraud. It would raise revenues, setting a budget and supervising government expenditures. He would organize and maintain a peacekeeping force and judicial system, and it would act as a permanent agency for the review of actions by government officials. Now, under this constitution, Abaco's assembly would have the power to suspend or remove from office any official suspected of infringing on an individual's rights. And most laws would be set to expire after 5 years, forcing Parliament to review the costs and benefits of each initiative it passed. Doesn't that sound like a great plan? So anyhow, this whole plan kind of fizzled apart and unfortunately never got off the ground, but you still see this attitude there today. Now we're going to have to take a short break, but we'll be back and, continue discussions on the Bahamas. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, and this is Gary Fretz.